What's that really great church word we can't say during the 40 days of Lent?
Hallelujah.
What'd you say?
Hallelujah.
Jesus Christ is risen from the dead.
He is risen. Hallelujah.
He's risen just like he said he would. You need some practice at this. We haven't done this in a while. Death has no power over him.
Indeed, he is risen. Hallelujah.
The Lamb that was slain is alive.
Indeed, he is risen. Hallelujah.
He has conquered sin and death.
Indeed, he is risen. Hallelujah.
Glory and honor and power belong to him.
Indeed.
This is the great day of our salvation.
Indeed, he is risen. Hallelujah.
Jesus Christ is risen.
Indeed, he is risen. Hallelujah.
He is risen just like he said he would.
Indeed, he is risen. Hallelujah.
This is from an old sermon from one of the ancient patriarchs of Constantinople, Saint Proclus. You've all heard of him. Glorious is our Passover feast, and truly splendid is this great assembly of the Christian people. And with this holy mystery are contained things both old and new. The celebration of this day and the great joy we experience is shared by such a multitude that not alone do men and women on earth rejoice, but even the powers of heaven are united with us in a joyful celebration of Christ's resurrection. For now, the angels and the hosts of the archangels also keep holiday this day and stand waiting for the triumphant return from the earth of Christ our Lord, who is King of heaven and King of earth. And likewise, the multitude of the blessed rejoice, proclaiming the Christ who was begotten before the beginning of time. The earth rejoices, now washed by divine blood. The sea rejoices, honored as it was by his feet upon the waters. And even more, let each soul rejoice who is born again of water and the Holy Spirit. And paraphrasing the words of Martin Luther King, we are free at last from the ancient curse. We are free at last. Great God Almighty, we're free at last. Easter is the great celebration of what God has done to save us. This is the good news, that Christ died for sinners, that God loves us. Death couldn't keep him down. The power of the resurrection is God's celestial dynamite against all that ails us. This is the great feast of Easter. But you can't get to Easter without experiencing Holy Thursday. Do you know about Holy Thursday? This is my body. This is my blood. Could you not watch with me 1 hour? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I do not know the man. This is my body. This is my blood. Look what miracles the Lord did with common bread, the most ordinary of things. God uses the everyday stuff of our lives and transforms it. Did I tell you about the time I was arrested? I was caught shoplifting in high school. My parents had to come and pick me up from the store. A couple days later, the police came and picked me up at the house. I think I remember handcuffs. I'm not sure. Do they handcuff you for shoplifting? I had to go to court. I was humiliated. I promised God I'd never do it again. Who's done that? Did you never do it again? I didn't keep that promise. I didn't learn my lesson. When I worked for Dow Chemical Company, I falsified time cards and took lots of office supplies. What good can come out of this wrong that I did? It was really the low point, the most embarrassing time of my life. Naked, exposed. Let me tell you what God did from it. Years later, 5 or 6 years later, after I had met the risen Lord Jesus, after God had begun the long process of changing my life, I knew I had to take responsibility for what I did. I knew I had to go. I grew up in Midland. Stuff happened in Midland. I knew I had to go back to Midland and make some amends. I dreaded the day. I don't think I slept much the night before. First place I went was the Dow Chemical Company. I went to my boss and said, gee, I'm really sorry I didn't. He says, oh, that's okay. Everybody does. And then I gave him a check. He goes, what's this? And I said, well, this is like what I owe you. This is what I took. And he goes, I can't take that. I said, you have to take that. I'm not taking that. You can rip it up if you want. But he said, oh, my goodness, we have to go to, you know, the next boss. So we went to the next boss. And he went, oh, my goodness, what happened to you? And so we went to his boss. And he says, oh, my goodness, nobody's ever done this before. What happened to you? You think I told him? So then we were in one part of Midland, and then we had to go over to corporate headquarters. And then we went to his boss. And he said, what happened to you? We can't take this check. Everybody does this. Who can stand up to this light? Then we went to his boss. I was 2 doors away from the president of the company. People were embarrassed. They were embarrassed. Not me, for heaven's sakes, about what I was saying. Who can stand up to this light? Then we're at a... This is one of the members of the board of Dow Chemical Company. He had a PhD and a law degree. And he said, how can I experience what you did? He said, do you know of any place in Midland I can go to get what you got? And as we were leaving, the person with whom I started, who had accompanied me all this way, turned to me and said, thank you for the most meaningful day of my life. Then I went to the golf course that I used to sneak on. They sent me a citation.
Oh my gosh.
No kidding. I got it in the mail. Next, I went to the restaurant that in high school we used to sneak out of all the time. This was with a check for all these places, trying to estimate the wrong that I had done. The manager says, hey, come on back here. He says, what happened to you? How can I experience that? He says, I've done some wrong in my life. And he started confessing his sins. I wasn't a priest. I was a dude like you. 20-some years old. I went into that day afraid that people would be disappointed and angry, maybe even call the police. All I did was tell people what Jesus did. I was admitting I was a sinner. I was a thief. But God used that. God used the simple repentance of someone who knew that they had done wrong, turning something that was not good into something that he could use for his kingdom. That's what he does with the stuff we give him. He transforms it. We just have to really give it to him. We can't get to the joy of Easter without the transforming grace of Holy Thursday, without offering to him the stuff of our lives. And watch and see what the risen Lord Jesus will do with it. This is the feast of the resurrection. Have you been through Good Friday? You can't get to the joy of the resurrection without going through Good Friday. Remember the whips, the crown, the nails, the agonized breathing, the taunting mockery. 3 hours of agony. Why do we go through it? Because we're gluttons for pain? Oh, goodness, no. Because it is precisely in the sufferings of the dearest Lord Jesus that we see that the suffering in our lives has meaning and purpose. And my goodness, there's a lot of it there, isn't there? And sometimes it alienates us. Sometimes we think we're the only one. Nobody understands. We're not appreciated. Who will ever know? Will it ever end? Can good come out of it? Do you think Jesus had those temptations? Do you think he had cause to have them more strongly than ever you did? No, but we see in his sufferings the meaning and purpose, the good that God can bring out. And this happened because he surrendered his will to the Father. Have you surrendered your will to the Father? Not my will, but yours be done. Have you been surprised at what God can do even when you didn't know he was even at work? Because you trusted him and you came through on the other side. You can't know the joy of Easter if you don't know the struggle of the Garden of Gethsemane. There's no resurrection without the crucifixion. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. The great joy of Easter is knowing the one who rose from the dead, knowing the God who changes our lives, knowing the God who makes our wrongs right, knowing the God who turns our sorrows into joy, knowing the one who blesses us with joy and hope and freedom that even Bill Gates can't buy.
you
can have treasures. And Jesus Christ that Bill Gates can't buy. We pray he knows them, but not because he buys them. The great joy of Easter is truly knowing the one who rose from the dead. And truly in Christ we are blessed with joy and freedom that money can't buy, but not if we're playing a con. Not if we're fooling ourselves and trying to fool God too. Not if we don't obey what he says. Or sincerely repent when we fail and bear the fruits that befit repentance. Otherwise, all we're doing is the spiritual equivalent of lip syncing. We're just faking it. There was a time in my life where I didn't even bother to fake it. I didn't go to church. You've heard it before, you'll hear it again. I retell every Easter that one spring break in college when I was on the beach of Fort Lauderdale. And I heard over the radio right there on the beach. And believe me, we weren't on the beach praying the rosary or witnessing. We heard on the beach, on the radio, that it was Easter Sunday. And I didn't even know it. And much to my surprise, I had to admit to myself that I didn't even care. What happened? Hey, I know when it's Easter now. What happened was the risen Lord Jesus. What happened was the risen Lord Jesus, in my repentance and in my earnest prayer, revealed himself to me. I met him. I met Jesus risen from the dead. Now, how did I do that? There's many ways to answer that, but I'll tell you this. I didn't know the joy and the power of the risen Lord Jesus until I had done the work of Holy Thursday and Good Friday. I struggled trusting God. I had to give him stuff in my life that I didn't know I wanted to give him. Didn't know I'd ever get it back. Didn't know I'd die in the process. And I had to give him the stuff of my life, such that it was, so that he could do his transforming thing. And that's what we're here to do. Whatever we have, give it to God. Ask for the courage to be ruthlessly honest. Because it's only the truth that will set us free. And to those that do, oh, what joy awaits the saints in light. I promise you this. Because of the truths we celebrate here today, if you enter into them and practice them, God will not disappoint you. He's never outdone in anything. You will never make an offering that is not returned 100-fold or more. We're not in heaven yet. Darn. But the joy of Easter is a little taste, a down payment on a joy that will never end. I'll end with some Easter words from John Chrysostom, one of my favorite preachers. He's the patron saint of preachers. Chrysostom means golden mouth. As he announces Easter, he says, "We've finished with the duty of fasting. Let us not, however, finish with the fruits of fasting. For we can put aside the obligation of fasting and yet gather the fruits of it. The weariness of the struggle has passed, but let the eagerness of doing what is right not leave us. The fast has ended. The service of God remains. But do not be afraid. I do not say this because I am going to impose another Lent on you, but solely that you resolve with determination to pursue that Easter joy that will never end.